Hello and welcome to another My Tunes podcast right here at manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
This week on My Tunes, my guest is someone who's been on the media landscape, I like that, for a good few years, and has bounced in and out of Manx Radio during that period of time. And he's back in for a moment with us now. Please welcome Simon Richardson to My Tunes.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I think I like the idea of bouncing in and out. I seem to have bounced in and out of everywhere over the last 20, 30 years.
Well, you've been certainly part of this old place for on and off for quite a while. I just want to start by asking, was it you or your lovely late sister Susie who got into radio first?
Oh, Susie was well ahead of me, yeah. Susie was had been in at Manx Radio for, I think, for quite a few years when I finally joined.
And was she sort of influential in your decision to come into radio?
Sort of yes and no. Obviously, she was, you know, what she did was fantastic, and we talked about it a lot. And I used to come up here, you know, before I actually joined the station for various reasons. But I think it all came about when a vacancy occurred, and I just thought, you know, why not? Let's give it a go.
But in terms of journalism, you cut your teeth in the papers here, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I started out, I can't even remember the year, actually, because it's that long ago. But I started out at the old Isle of Man Examiner, age 19, as a junior reporter, working with all sorts of people. Paul Taggart was one of my compatriots. He now lives in New Zealand. He edits a newspaper over there. And I can't remember the year, but it was, I was 19 and I'm 63 now. So it's a good few years ago.
Now, the newspapers in that era, both here and everywhere else for that matter, were a very different beast to what they are now.
Oh, it was. It was like stepping back another century. We were talking about hot lead down in the print works. There was lots of people. There was strong unions, the NUJ, the NGA for the print workers. We used to produce our copy on bits of paper. It would go to the editor, and then that would be passed to the NGA guys, who would then type it into the system, and then it would go for print. And they were all produced on, you know, giant boards with bits of sticky paper, effectively. It couldn't have been more different.
And the influence those papers had, I would suggest, was far greater in those days.
I think it probably was. The circulation of the papers was huge in those days. I mean, they were the main source of news. The old Isle of Man Examiner, we produced the Examiner, the Weekly Times and the Manx Star at the weekends. And the circulation, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was well over 16,000-17,000 at the time, for the Examiner in particular. Which, when you think the population was a lot smaller than it is now, it's quite significant.
When you think of today's multimedia journalists who may be shooting video, taking pictures, doing some writing, doing some audio, I'm thinking that when you started out, you would either write or take a picture.
Yeah, we had a very old typewriter, and we used to scribble bits of copy onto it. And if it wasn't very good, you'd screw it up in a ball and throw it at one of the people in the room. It was fairly basic, and there was a hole in the ceiling above my desk at the old Hill Street office. And when it rained, I used to sit there quite often with an umbrella over my head. So the facilities were almost as crude as the way we produced them in some respects.
But there were lots of people. You mentioned the number of people. And I guess because it was quite a complicated business, just as radio was a very complicated technical business with bits of kit that you never saw outside of a studio, then the papers were like that.
Oh, they were, yeah. I mean, it took me years to find out what actually happened to the paper once it left my desk, went through the editor and was then processed. And it really was a complex procedure, and it was quite fascinating going down and watching the guys downstairs with, you know, with these letters all with printed on pieces of lead and being produced that way. It was fascinating.
Do you remember one of the first big stories that you got into the newspaper, and that feeling of, I've got a big story coming out this week?
My first ever story that I remember was about a guy who was putting, it was a roof tiler, and they were putting the new roof on the police station, or the roof on the police station. And he had a dog called Jip, and the dog literally went up the ladder with him and walked along the roof. And it was a tall ladder, and just kept him company while he was up doing the roof tiling, which, anyway, I mentioned it to the editor at the time, who was Robert Kelly on the, it was the Weekly Times that week. And he thought it was great, and he thought it was a good idea. And it was a front page story, and the headline on it was Jip the Woof Tiler, which, you know, great headline and all the rest of it. So I was quite pleased with myself. And then Eric Kinraid, who was the editor-in-chief, who was also the editor of the other paper, The Examiner, came up to me the next day, and he said, that was a shocking story, because he was very much an animal rights campaigner. And I'm fond of animals, particularly dogs myself. But he said it was terribly cruel letting that dog go up on the roof, and we shouldn't have done the story. Robert Kelly had a slightly different view, but it certainly took the wind out of my sails a bit.
But it sold a lot of copies.
Well, I hope so.
Dog on the front page, up a ladder. Can't go wrong with that. Let's have our first choice of music. Your first choice of music. What's it going to be?
Well, my wife tells me that I'm locked in the 70s, which is something, of course, I've always denied, but I'm now going to prove she was absolutely right. And my first choice is Jackson Brown, and the song is the title track of the album The Pretender.
And we'll fill in the missing colors in each other's paint by number dreams. And then we'll put our dark glasses on, and we'll make love until our strength is gone. And when the morning light comes streaming in, we'll get up and do it again. Get it up again. I'm gonna for the pretender who started out so young and strong only to surrender.
Tunes. This week, my guest is Simon Richardson. You'd have heard him on Manx Radio in various guises, and you'd certainly read his work in the newspapers. And let's not forget Man in Media, Man in Group. We'll talk about a lot of that later on. Simon, let's get you into Manx Radio. We touched on the fact that your late sister was here, but she didn't bring you in. It was somebody else that got you in.
I sort of got in myself, in a way. there was a job as a news reporter, and I applied, and I was very fortunate to get the job.
And you ended up doing quite a lot of sports work.
Yeah, that's how I started, really. It was on the sports side, and my role effectively was sports editor. I came in following Peter Neal, so that was pretty big shoes to fill, and it was quite a terrifying experience. So much so that the first hour show I did on the Saturday afternoon had about 12 recorded interviews in it, none of which actually worked, because the cart machine, apparently we put them all onto 8-track carts, as you'll no doubt remember.
Yeah.
And every time I introduced a cart, it didn't work. I found out afterwards that the machine was switched off at the back. So it was a good job. I had about 6 million darts results and everything else to just literally keep reading for about 50 minutes.
And you got through it?
I think I did, yeah.
You got through it. What for you was the biggest challenge of moving from really just writing everything to having to speak?
Obviously, you've got to get over a few little issues. I mean, I'm quite a shy person by nature. So it was a bit of a shock to the system suddenly to be sort of thrust onto a microphone talking to thousands of others. And the writing is very different. You're writing much shorter in radio. You have license in newspapers and in magazines to be more wordy. And trying to get that discipline of trimming things down to sort of short sentences, where we would maybe write 10 paragraphs, we're writing 3. And that was quite a discipline to get used to.
And this journalistic inquiring mind, did it sort of happen to you at an early age? Was it something brewing through school that you thought, that's what I want to do?
Well, it was probably English was the only thing I was any good at, actually. And most of the teachers will probably vouch for that. I suppose in the end, when I was looking at things that I might like to do, you know, journalism came to the fore, I was absolutely useless at maths, which doesn't go well with somebody who's supposed to be editor of a business magazine, as I also am now. But I think with most journalists, you tend to find that they're people who haven't been particularly good at sums, so they go for English instead, and journalism is the obvious choice.
So the first period of your time at Manx Radio, I'm trying to work it out here. I think there are three defined periods that we can work on. But the first one, you left the station to go where?
I went to back into the newspapers, actually. I went to the Isle of Man Weekly Times, which by then had broken away from the Examiner Group and was operating independently. Or we thought it was, but it was actually operated by the nephew. It was owned by the nephew of the owner of the Examiner, from which a long story emerged.
But it's a bit like that on the Isle of Man, isn't it? I mean, you must bump into people all over the place. Weren't you there? Oh, no, you're there now, but you're back there now. This happens here, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, yeah. Yeah, and I think in newspapers and media, that's probably has been the case as much as in any other industry.
And it's not like we're a city where you'll become you'll disappear for years and then everyone will know where you are.
Oh, pretty much so, yeah.
They'll know where you are. Let's have today's piece of music, Simon.
Right, well, as I said, I think yesterday, as my wife suggested, I'm locked in the 70s. This is also a track from the 70s. It's a guy who, I think yesterday's choice was Jackson Browne. Warren Zevon was a friend and they used to write together. And it was from his particular album. The track is called Desperados Under the Eaves. It's produced in 1976.
I was sitting in the Hollywood Hawaiian Hotel. I was staring in my empty coffee cup. I was thinking that the gypsy wasn't blind. All the salty margaritas in Los Angeles, I'm gonna drink them up. And if California slides into the ocean like the mystics and statistics say it will, I predict this motel will be standing until I pay my bill. Don't the sun look angry through the trees? Don't the trees look like crucified beings? Don't you feel like desperados under the eaves? Heaven help the one who leaves. Still waking up in the morning with shaking hands, and I'm trying to find a girl who understands me, but except in dreams you're never really free. Don't the sun look angry at me? I was sitting in the Hollywood Hawaiian Hotel. I was listening to the air conditioner hum. It went. We'll be right back.
MyTunes on Manx Radio with my guest all this week, Simon Richardson, who's been editing an awful lot, including Manx Radio, over quite a few years. But Simon, I want to focus today on something that started out and was much loved as the in-flight magazine of Manx Airlines and basically became a household magazine pretty much under your stewardship. We're talking Manx Tales.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, I joined the Manin Group, or Manin Media as they were known then, when Valerie Cottle was the editor and I joined her as her sort of second in command. A job actually Howard Kane, who works for Manx Radio, also did for a while. Anyway, once Valerie retired, I took over as editor of Manx Tales. Soon after that, Manx Airlines, of course, were taken over by British Airways. And we were left with a choice. BA had their own magazine. They didn't really want Manx Tales anymore because they had a corporate image. So we had two choices, either to scrap the magazine entirely or to try and keep it going in some form. It was popular, and people who travelled on the planes knew it well. It had a good sort of feeling to it. So we took the decision to go island-wide and make it a free publication. That was quite a big jump for us. We were going from, I think it was about 12,000 to 15,000 copies a month to over 40,000. So from a, you know, it was a daring thing to do financially, I think, for the company as well. But we did it, and we had it delivered free by the post office. And as everybody will remember, it went on for many years. And it was incredibly successful.
I don't think I can... Well, I know I can't think of another airline magazine that went into a delivery system like that. I can't think of one.
No, I can't either, actually. It's fairly unique, which is something, of course, the Isle of Man's good at producing, isn't it?
And it was the passion for the airline as well that probably kept a lot of people hanging on to it.
I think it was, yeah. I mean, Manx Airlines was... In some respects, they were a bit like the steam packet and Manx Radio. Everyone knocked it, but also everybody loved it. And I think that the magazine was almost entrenched in their minds. And to succeed, of course, in the open market, it had to attract advertising. And that's what we didn't know if that was going to happen or not. But fortunately for us, it was a great success.
And one of the other things I want to talk about is... citizen journalism. I mean, not necessarily professional journalists, but people who were good writers who were able to contribute. It was an amazing amalgam of talent.
It was, and that was the sort of theory that we were working on. We wanted to have good writers doing regular columns and to build it around that as a sort of foundation, and then introduce features and general information as well. And we were very fortunate. A lot of really good writers wanted to join the team. They weren't paid a lot of money, but they all enjoyed doing it, and it became a popular publication.
Do you think the real marching forward of social media and online activity was always going to make it hard for it to survive?
I think it was always going to make it more difficult for any publication, be it newspapers or magazines, and that's certainly the case. I think magazines have been affected less so. And I think the decision in the end by Manin to stop producing it was more to do with the production costs involved of producing so many magazines and distributing them island-wide through the post office than it was to do with its popularity or a decline in advertising. It had managed to hold its own right to the end, and it never lost money. It was always, at the very worst, breaking even. I did in the end to stop it.
Tomorrow, we're going to do a bit of future gazing. We're going to look right through all your various roles, and we're going to have a bit of future gazing. But for now, let's have Wednesday's track.
Okay, Wednesday's track is from Chris Rear. It's funny, I was introduced to Chris Rear when Susie was working at Manx Radio, funnily enough, and she was the librarian, and this track, or this album came in called Whatever Happened to Benny Santini, and it never really took off in the UK, and in the end, it was a scrap album from Manx Radio, and she let me take it home. I think I still have it, actually, somewhere. But I absolutely loved it, and I became a bit of a Chris Rear fan. And then one of his later albums, I came across this song, which was written for a very average German film. The German name is, and my German pronunciation is probably horrendous, but I think it's Auf immer und ewig, which apparently in English means forever and ever. But I just think it's an absolutely beautiful song, and it's one I still like to play from time to time.
Sunny day, no sky blue, just a pale moon on the wings of the wind. No diamond rings, no pretty dreams. Chains of each other, and there was no other way. This was how it was to be. The flame will haunt you constantly. There'll never be a day.
Final My Tunes of the Week with my guest, Simon Richardson, who's been in and out of the revolving door at Manx Radio a couple of times, and he's back here at the moment, not full time, but he's back here at the moment. We're going to do a bit of future gazing, Simon, if you don't mind. We've talked about the papers, we've talked about magazines, we haven't talked yet enough about radio. But as far as I can see, everything, all these journalistic skills are coming together, and if you can't do a lot of them, you're not going to get much work.
I think that's true, actually, and I must admit, from my perspective, coming back here after so many years, it's like starting a completely different job. The technicalities of it are totally different. When I left, it was still bits of tape with razor blades and the like. And, you know, I quite enjoyed it at the time. Coming here was a shock to the system. I'm still absolutely hopeless. As the guys in the newsroom will vouch, I'm the one who's always saying, how do you do this? And asking them the same thing about five times.
But you mentioned razor blade and tape, which is exactly where I started in radio with the old reel-to-reel. And yes, you had to make the edits with a razor blade and stick it all together. The principles of what makes a good piece and where you do the edits, they haven't changed.
No, they're pretty much exactly the same. I think the styles have changed. I think the demands that radio has of a news service has changed. I think it's become more demanding because of all the social media and the other elements that are added to the package, so to speak. But I mean, underneath it all, it's still pretty much the same job. You just have to make judgments, and you have to make judgments quite quickly sometimes.
And the editorial process of broadcasting or putting stuff online or whatever we're doing, pieces of information that we believe are of interest to the audience, the listener, the viewer.
Absolutely. And sometimes they'll agree with us and sometimes they won't. And that's always been the case. And I would envisage it would carry on pretty much like that. The only things that will drastically change, I think, is technology.
One thing we mentioned when we talked about Manx Tales was the fact there were an awful lot of people putting material in and submitting it for addition into the magazine. We haven't quite, well, I haven't been aware of that happening so much here, or indeed in hardly any radio station. There is a difference, isn't there?
I think there is, and I think the trouble is, I think radio stations, newspapers, magazines, in this world we're in now, have to distinguish themselves. They have to make themselves slightly different to the other one. And if you don't have an ESP or whatever it is, you're not going to succeed. And that's always going to be the challenge. And I think it's more of a challenge now than it's ever been. Radio has more competition from within its own industry. The newspapers, magazines have competition from the same areas as radio and also from social media. So it's a difficult industry to be in. I remember saying to my daughter, who works for a national newspaper, when she told me that she was going to go into journalism after a fairly successful career in acting, I thought, oh no, please don't do it. Because it is quite a precarious business. But she did, and she's done well.
The newspapers we've talked about, magazines we've talked about, radio we're now talking about. Are they all going to exist, do you think, as we move forward 5, 10, 15 years?
I suppose I look at it through rose-coloured specs, and maybe I shouldn't, but I think they will. I think there is still a kind of a grounded feeling about radio and newspapers, that people still have a trust in them, and they still like to have their news from an accredited source, if you like, from places where there are journalists. And I know that there is a huge move towards online, towards YouTube, and a lot of young people use nothing else. But there's also a lot of resistance to it as well, and I think we're seeing that more now. And I don't envisage the death of radio or magazines or newspapers in a 15-year period.
Good. We are held to account by Communications Commission here, Ofcom across, and all sorts of people will come down us on like a ton of bricks if we say something that's not true or something that's obviously offensive. The online world is very different. And we have seen, certainly through the pandemic, an awful lot of false trails, red herrings, absolute downright nonsense as well, coming on to social media. Should it be more regulated?
Undoubtedly it should, yeah. It's not a level playing field, and the sort of established media is having to deal with an intruder that has no rules in effect. And as long as that continues, I think it will be a very difficult industry to be in. It does need regulation. I think everybody knows it needs regulation. The question is, how do they do it? And it's for much cleverer people than me to make that decision.
Manning Media, now the Manning Group. The titles you're currently putting out?
Just the one magazine at the moment. I work on Business 365. That's the magazine I do.
And the future for that?
Well, I hope it's I hope it's rosy.
Yeah.
But it is a difficult market out there, and I think everybody would say the same, whether they be in radio, newspapers or magazines. It's we've been through difficult times. We're hoping we're coming out the other side, and you know, it's fingers crossed that things will improve.
Well, thank you for coming on this week. Thank you for coming back into Manx Radio, bringing all that experience back into the pot, especially with what we've been going through and the election and everything else. Simon, it's been much appreciated.
Thank you, Mark.
Let's have our final piece of music.
The last track I've got is a group I've always stuck by. I always enjoy the music, and that's the Eagles. Not one you'd expect, possibly. It's another album track, and it's called Waiting in the Weeds.
And the reason for this one?
I just like it.
Fair, that's good enough for me.
Just coming on the end of August, another summer's promise almost gone. Though I heard some wise men say that every dog will have his day, he never mentioned that these dog days get so long. I don't know when I realized the dream was over. Well, there was no particular hour, no given day. You know, it didn't go down in flame. There was no final scene, no frozen frame. I just watched it slowly fade. Thank you. stumbling through some dark places and following the plow. I know I've fallen out of your good graces. It's all right now. I've been waiting in the weeds, waiting for the summer. Answering the calling of the tide's eternal tune, the phases of the moon, the chambers of the heart, the egg and dart, a small gray spider.
Many thanks to Simon Richardson for another great week on My Tunes. I'm Mark Tiley. Don't forget to join me for the Shore Morning Show, Monday to Friday, 9:30 until 12.